You're with us as we talk about work from home on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Remote office work has challenged people who thrive being surrounded by their colleagues and who can easily navigate the coffee machine banter. Yet the switch to working in different places with fewer people could offer employees on the autism spectrum more opportunities. Alexandra Samuel is an author and technology researcher. Her piece in the Wall Street Journal explored how as remote work becomes more common in the job market, it opens up vast new possibilities for people who have autism. She co-authored the book Remote Inc., and she talked with WPR host Keely Boltina in March.
Your forthcoming book is focused on remote work, but you don't lead with that in what you've written. You start your piece by explaining you've worried about your autistic son and work. What do you want people to know?
Well, I think we have this idea that everybody kind of comes into the modern workplace as a same-sized widget, you know, and we can all just drop into our desks and our cubicles and start working away. And what I've become really aware of over the years with my son, you know, really it's been a kind of a 15-year journey now, is that the differences that we've learned to work with and accommodate in the classroom, of course, follow kids right through into adulthood. And when we expect everybody to be, as we call it, neurotypical, we miss a lot of the differences that give people additional contributions they can make in the workplace, but also sometimes challenges. And what's exciting for me about remote work is that precisely because it takes people out of the workplace, it creates room for each of us to be our own kind of special snowflake. And if you're autistic, that means you can work in a way that works for you as an autistic person. But that is also true. We all have our little edges and quirks. And when you're at home, you can work in a way that builds to those strengths.
What made you realize that the flip from in-person office to remote work could really increase the odds of people like your son having success?
Well, I will confess, I mean, our lives changed a lot less during COVID than most people's, because my son was already being homeschooled and my husband and I had both transitioned to working from home in order to be available to support his homeschooling. So when COVID hit and we all had to lock down, my son said one day, "Ah, finally, this is a vindication of my lifestyle." And there's some truth in that. And I've heard that from a lot of autistic people on Twitter, right? Like for so many years, if you're not the kind of person who wants to leave the house every day, if you're not the kind of person who really thrives in a crowded office, you've been the odd man out. And now that everybody has to be in their little bubble and their little cocoon of solitude at home, if that is actually your happy place and you really thrive when you're solo, that creates real opportunities for people who are neurodivergent, who don't have the same wiring that we think of as, you know, quote unquote, mainstream.
Talk more about what you just touched on, this idea of a traditional office environment challenging some people on the autism spectrum.
Well, you know, one of the people I interviewed for this story is a guy who's a business analyst in the tech industry named Hunter Hansen, who also has a video blog about working as an autistic person and living as an autistic person. And one of the things he said to me in our interview that actually was just super helpful for me as well in thinking about my son is, you know, as an autistic person, there's no such thing as a good surprise. And when you're outside your home, you know, whether it's at the office, at the store, at a concert, life is surprising. Things happen that you did not expect. And for some people, there's more resilience for that. And for other people, a surprise can be really discombobulating. And when you take all of that away, it just creates so much more room for people to focus on their work instead of focusing on managing all that sensory stimulus.
And we should be clear, this goes across the org chart. I mean, we're talking entry-level workers, but also middle managers, department leaders who are autistic and can experience these barriers at work too.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we have to be cautious. I mean, it's become a little bit trendy in recent years as autism has become more understood and more accepted. I think a lot of us have started to like look again at people who would never have identified as being autistic. And there's a lot of kind of armchair diagnoses going on. But certainly there are lots of people in the workplace now who may never have been diagnosed or may never have thought of themselves as autistic, but who still benefit from having a different kind of sensory environment. And those folks are all the way up to the C-suite. I mean, there are people in every level, in every organization who have different kinds of quirks. Sometimes they disclose them, sometimes they know them and they can say, "I'm autistic, here's what I need to succeed." sometimes they may not even know that they have differences that might affect their productivity and that might enable them to make a stronger contribution if they had a quiet space.
Alex Samuel researches and writes about technology. She's got a book coming out about remote work called Remote Inc. And we're talking about how working remotely creates more possibilities for autistic people. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Alex, one example you note is that we don't have doorway conversations when people work remotely. Those are on messaging platforms. How does that benefit people on the spectrum?
Well, I mean, one thing I haven't said that I really need to say is that there is no one size fits all answer for autistic people any more than there is for neurotypical people. And in the autism community, people love to say, you know, when you've met one autistic person, you've met one autistic person. So there are people who really thrive on the social interaction of an office. And one of the concerns about this shift to remote work is that for people on the spectrum who may not have a lot of social interaction outside of work, this can be a very isolating time, just like it is for a lot of neurotypical people. That said, there are other folks who find that the most challenging part of the office is like all the body language stuff that happens in meetings. And so when you get rid of the hallway conversations where you can be taken by surprise, or you get rid of the boardroom conversations where so much of what's being said is not being said verbally, it's being said through gestures, through glances, through eye contact, then it levels the playing field. And if you're not someone who is really great at reading body language, then working remotely over text can be really liberating, because what you see is what you get. Hopefully people are a little more straight up and direct, which can also be really helpful. And also you can deal with incoming messages at your own pace. So if you need a little time to yourself before you're ready to plunge in, then, you know, texting and asynchronous communication is really beneficial. But, you know, that's true for a lot of neurotypical people as well. Getting away from having to work on somebody else's schedule and starting to follow your own natural energy cycles is exactly why we are all generally more productive when we're working remotely, once we master the skill of working remotely. And that's, you know, that's really what we were writing about in the book is, you know, what are the skills you need in order to become more productive when you're remote? Because whether you're autistic or neurotypical, you're actually going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, it's certainly a different environment. What do you think about this idea, though, that remote work could prevent us from really seeing one another and acknowledging and adapting to differences?
That, I think, is really one of the biggest worries about remote work. And one of the people I interviewed for my journal piece is this fabulous woman, Joy Johnson, who is autistic herself and works with families who have autistic kids. She's a behavior analyst and she's in the middle of doing her PhD. She pointed out to me, I mean, I'm all bullish about remote work, rah, rah, because I love doing everything online. I'm a tech nerd. But she reminded me that, you know, it's taken a really long time to bring many organizations around to the idea of making accommodations for people who are autistic or have other kinds of differences. Her concern, and I think it's a realistic one, is that now that remote work has proven itself viable for so many roles, companies may no longer make the effort to make the workplace more inclusive. And instead, the go-to will be, oh, you know, you have mobility issues, you have attention issues, you have sensory issues. Well, you can just work from home. And then that shunts diversity out of the workplace. It really impoverishes what we can do as a team because we are no longer hearing a breadth of voices. And it also means that, you know, for people in the disability world or the autism world, that their choices are suddenly constricted. And that really is the worst case outcome here.
What about the flip side? If a company expects people to come back into an office after having employees work remotely, do you think remote work could be considered a reasonable accommodation now?
For so many years, organizations have put people on the defensive when they ask for remote work as an option and say, you know, well, what makes you think this job can be done remotely? Well, now we've seen that just about every job, at least like every white collar job, professional job, can be done remotely. And, you know, a lot of people in the disability community have commented like, all these years we were asking for this accommodation and we were told it wasn't possible, but the second able-bodied people want to work from home, suddenly it's possible. So I do hope that this shifts the balance or the burden of proof so that it's no longer an unreasonable request if you ask to work from home. But, you know, like anything, at the end of the day, what this is really about is what helps a team work effectively, what helps each individual work effectively, and there is no one answer to that.
Alex, thank you for talking with me.
Thank you so much.
And that was author and technology researcher Alexandra Samuel talking with WPR host Keely Boltina. Find a link to Alexandra's article at wpr.org/mornings. Coming up, how much have you paid attention to CDC guidance in the pandemic? We look at how government agencies can improve the guidance they issue. Have you felt confused by federal guidance documents? Do you know where to even find them? A line for you, 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.